This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
About the Nord Stream pipeline explosion and the bombshell article from Seymour Hersh. He's got to be old. How old is this guy? Seymour Hersh. Apparently, he's got a huge resume behind him of exposing the My Lai massacre in Vietnam by U.S. troops.
Got to be like 70
at least. The CIA illegal domestic spying.
He's like Madonna's age.
The Watergate scandal. America's military's torture and abuse of detainees at the Abu Ghraib prison. I mean, this guy has a tremendous track record of revealing the ugly truth about what the U.S. government has been doing in its history in the last 50 years.
I'm sure that none of this, of course, was mentioned by the child sniffer known as the President Biden himself in the Stain of the Union address.
I suspect not.
Do you like that, Stain of the Union?
They're trying to...
Blood stain, it's what it's short for.
Yeah, this guy was born in 1937. That makes him 86 or something like that?
Almost.
Yeah.
He'll be 86 in April.
Yeah. Wow, and he's still at it. Still... Right. Doing investigative journalism. That's incredible.
I think that's the right way to go, honestly.
He's old enough to be going, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you have, like, a really specialized skill that is your calling and your passion, like, keep at it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are so many, men especially, are susceptible to dying prematurely after they retire.
Because they have nothing to live for.
Exactly. Right?
Humans need purpose.
Right.
I agree. So he came out with this report that is, again, 5,000 words long. We will be linking it over at social.freetalklive.com on the FTL profile for those of you that want to dig into all the details. But essentially the short version is the U.S. government had been planning this for many months. They sent divers down in, I think it was July or June, the summertime of 2022, into the Baltic Sea. They set the detonation, set the charges, the bombs on the Nord Stream pipelines there, and then it was triggered by a buoy that was dropped from a plane 3 months later.
We've determined the buoy's name was David.
I'm not sure about that detail, Captain.
I made it up, and now it's stuck for the whole show.
I don't believe it. I don't believe you should be dragging that particular name through the mud, sir.
David Bowie.
I'd say disrespect for the dead, but I think we all know that he is a vampire android who just went home to a different planet.
It's not like I'm making fun of David Bowie. I actually assign the name David to many things. Take these banners over here. They're both named David. David Banner.
Oh, okay. So you're just uncreative. You just can't come up with any
names. It's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
His pseudonym was David Banner.
I never saw the show.
Oh, well, okay.
Never read the comics. Don't know anything about it.
You're just shedding nerd points left and right.
You better start playing
some Magic the Gathering or you're going to get revoked.
I do play Magic the Gathering, but I never read Marvel comics.
Some have them as Bruce Banner, but others have them as David Banner, depending on when you were first introduced to the Incredible Hulk.
Is Bruce like one of those names where the short name is completely unrelated, kind of like Dick and Richard or whatever?
No, just for whatever reason, they changed depending on the television show versus either of the comic series.
Incredible Hulk. Bruce Banner, Peter Parker,
J.
Jonah Jameson Jr.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Pippi Longstocking?
Wait, no.
No.
That's
not a comic.
Okay.
Anywho.
Isn't that alliteration? What is assonance? That's a word I'm not familiar with.
That's when you make an ass of yourself.
I thought alliteration was when you ended the same.
We'll have to check that one.
All right.
Anyway, the number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. And I'll admit, I have not read the 5,000 words. There's a lot of detail on how this operation came about, what led up to.
Yeah. I've heard from other sources that the details that are described are pretty difficult to fake. that they seem very, very much legitimate to someone who was involved in the operation.
Seymour Hersh isn't the kind of guy who's going to open his mouth unless he's got the details down by somebody that knows them.
And this is the thing. We called this back at the time. So
we sure did.
It's means, motive, and opportunity, right? So means and opportunity means that you have a country-level military structure involved. So most likely, a country. Okay, who has the motive? NATO. Definitely NATO. Mm-hmm. Now, was it in particular Poland or Switzerland or England or, well, most likely the U.S. because, well, let's face it, they do most of the blowing things up in the world these
Apparently
days.
It was the U.S. in tandem with the Norwegians.
Oh, there you go.
According to the report.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, and at the time there were a handful of damning details like a submarine. There was some bit on the buoy at the time.
Wait a minute. In tandem with the Norwegians. So was that the U.S. going like, right? Which one of our little kid brothers hasn't had a turn yet? Oh, the Norwegians. Hey, you guys, come with us. Let's go blow up a thing. We'll show
it
you how
make
it's
you
done.
Wonder how that discussion happened. Maybe they're like, Nord Stream. We better have the Nords with us.
We better have some Nords, some Norwegians, yes.
There's a lot of detail on it. I mean, I could share it with you here, but we're going to go to the phone. So we got this caller on. You're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
I heard my name mentioned. This is David.
Oh, hey.
Banner or Bowie?
Yeah, well, I love Bowie and Banner. I have a couple of, I have a something that I don't like about that.
All right. What's on your mind tonight, David?
Anyway, I was a gopher at a radio station. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, KFWB in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
For a minute, I thought you were telling us that you were a wildlife critter.
Does that mean you're like an intern? What is a gopher?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, not getting paid back in the old days, back in 1968 when they were attempting to go all news.
Okay, gotcha.
And I was air checking the crap out of them on a daily basis because that was the last of their music. And I was getting ready to go someplace.
Air checking, by the way, and, for our listeners that don't know, is an industry slang term that basically means you were recording the on-air feed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a big air check fan. I love air checks on YouTube and stuff like that. It's just an incredible collection that they have on YouTube of air checks, old tapes of old radio stations. And while I was getting ready to go someplace, and I was recording, now there's thousands and thousands of hours of KFWB that I have from this era.
Okay.
I heard them say on the news, our parent company, Westinghouse, has just successfully disassembled and reassembled a box of ordinary house tools from one part of this warehouse that was like six blocks in diameter, six blocks long, but they had successfully reassembled them. So it's kind of like beaming, I would guess, you know, from Star Trek, right?
Oh, you're talking about like teleportation or something like that?
Well, they disassembled the molecules of a box of house tool and then reassembled them at the other end of a... of this building, of this huge...
This was
warehouse.
In the 1960s?
68, yeah. And that's the only time I ever heard it, and it's been shut up, and nobody talks about it. And I was wondering if you guys could check into that, that wow. Westinghouse did an experiment, and they were successfully beaming something from one end of a six-block warehouse to another. I'd like you to check into that and see what you can come up with.
We'll get our crack team of investigators on that immediately.
I'll give you my hot take. I doubt it. Like, seriously, the precision required for that, there was nothing, there was no technology that I'm aware of that could even begin to do that at the time.
Apparently, just a quick search here, Quora.com, in an article about did Nikola Tesla...
I was going to say, that's some, like, Tesla-level stuff.
Wow.
That he's talking about.
But it's not really his style. Like, so I've actually looked into the general principles that he ascribed to and how they were applied. I'm no expert by any means, but like I get a general sense of where he was headed, and I don't think this is the same sort of a thing. Now, having them vibrate and like be pushed through the building would be something theoretically within some of his framework, maybe. But disassembled and reassembled, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I mean, if they had that kind of technology, you would think they'd have stayed in business.
Right?
And that they would, you know, sell it to the military or who knows what, or it's really hush-hush. But I'd love to find out anything new about that. And I did have many of my tapes digitized. So if I accidentally stumble upon that particular newscast, I'll get back in touch with you and send you a copy of it.
Please do. Okay. And be careful.
I mean, it could have been just a joke, right? Like, it could have been the possibility that the sort of like world... War of the Worlds, right?
Mm.
You know, it wasn't really true. Sounded real to some people, but...
Sounds spurious to me.
Apparently Westinghouse is still in business. How about that? Huh. They make televisions now.
Yeah, a lot of people killed themselves over that War of the Worlds, seriously.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight, David. I appreciate hearing from you.
Also, way to be summoned.
Yeah. I don't know if David is the most common caller name on Free Talk Live, but it might be.
It might be.
Yeah. The number here is 603-283-6160. So we're looking at this story about the Nord Stream pipeline. And since we were talking about the Norway or the Norwegian connection here, I'll just give you an excerpt. They say here, this is the section on this, again, 5,000-word story from Seymour Hersh. Norway was the perfect place to base the mission. In the past few years of the East-West crisis, the U.S. military has vastly expanded its presence inside Norway, whose western border runs 1,400 miles along the North Atlantic Ocean and merges above the Arctic Circle with Russia. The Pentagon has created high-paying jobs and contracts amid some local controversy by investing hundreds of millions of dollars to upgrade and expand the American Navy and Air Force facilities in Norway. The new works included, most importantly, an advanced synthetic aperture radar far up north that was capable of penetrating deep into Russia and came online just as the American intelligence community lost access to a series of long-range listening sites inside China. A newly refurbished American submarine base, which had been under construction for years, had become operational, with more American and more American submarines were now able to work closely with their Norwegian colleagues to monitor and spy on a major Russian nuclear redoubt 250 miles to the east in the Kola Peninsula. America has also vastly expanded a Norwegian air base in the north and delivered to the Norwegian Air Force a fleet of Boeing-built P-8 Poseidon patrol planes. Guess which plane dropped the buoy into the Baltic Sea, which was predicted, or rather explained at the time. We talked about this by this YouTube geek, and I'm sorry I don't remember the name of the channel, but we linked to it. It was actually found by Jay Freeville in our chat room over at chat.freetalklive.com. He's the one that put the video, as I recall, in our chat server, so it's thanks to our chatters for uncovering this information. The Poseidon P-8 patrol plane was what was seen on the night of, in the vicinity of, the explosion.
Coincidence?
Dropping down 10,000 feet from where it was flying. This is after it went into the European airspace to refuel. It then came over the Baltic Sea, dropped 10,000 feet down, and then came right back up. As though it had maybe done something.
And they'd have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for us pesky kids.
Yeah.
No, it was clearly Russia. Obviously, Russia destroyed their own pipeline.
$20 billion pipeline or
right.
whatever,
I mean,
right?
When you're getting into a war, the first thing to do is to weaken yourself as much as possible. I mean, you try and cut your own arteries right. before you run at them, you know.
I mean, amazing to me that anyone thought it was the Russians. Just makes no sense.
Well, again, this gets back to that whole thing. You can either choose who to believe or not, or you can not make the choice and just blindly trust the corporate and government sources.
In return for getting those patrol planes from the U.S., the Norwegian government angered liberals and some moderates in their parliament last November by passing the Supplementary Defense Cooperation Agreement. Under the New Deal, the U.S. legal system would have jurisdiction in certain agreed areas in the north over American soldiers accused of crimes off base, as well as over those Norwegian citizens accused or suspected of interfering with the work at the base. So basically giving U.S. jurisdiction over in the northern portion of Norway. Pretty crazy. Turns out they were one of the original signatories of the NATO Treaty in 1949 in the early days of the Cold War. Today, the supreme commander of NATO is Jens Stoltenberg, a committed anti-communist who served as Norway's prime minister for 8 years before moving to his high NATO post with American backing in 2014. He was a hardliner on all things Putin and Russia, who had cooperated with the American intelligence community since the Vietnam War. He had been trusted completely since. He is the glove that fits the American hand, according to Hirsch's unnamed source.
And this really isn't that strange if you think about it. I mean, all of Europe basically uses the U.S. military for their defense. I mean, yeah, sure, they've got their own military, but mm-hmm. it's absolutely not comparable to any of the major militaries of the world. So they use the U.S. as their primary defense. So when the U.S. says, hey, we want to rule this section for this time, they're like, yeah, sure, you're our military after all.
Back in Washington, the planners knew they had to go to Norway. Quote, they hated the Russians, and the Norwegian Navy was full of superb sailors and divers who had generations of experience in highly profitable deep-sea oil and gas exploration, according to the source. They also could be trusted to keep the mission secret. The Norwegians may have had other interests as well. The destruction of Nord Stream, if the Americans could pull it off, would allow Norway to sell vastly more of its own natural gas to the rest of Europe.
So why did they tell Biden?
Yeah, should have kept him in the dark, right?
Like why did, like, who's, somebody had to have gotten fired, right? For that, right? Like, oh no, who told Biden?
At the last second, out of nowhere, he asked, what am I signing again?
Sometime in March, a few members of the team flew to Norway to meet with the Norwegian Secret Service and Navy. One of the key questions was, where exactly in the Baltic Sea was the best place to plant the explosives? Nord Stream 1 and 2, so I misunderstood. I thought Nord Stream 1 was over land. Apparently it was also down there. Each with two sets of pipelines were separated much of the way by little more than a mile as they made their run to the port of Greifswald in the northeast of Germany. The Norwegian Navy was quick to find the right spot, in the shallow waters of the Baltic Sea, a few miles off of Denmark's Bornholm Island. The pipelines ran more than a mile apart along a seafloor that was only 260 feet deep. That would be well within the range of divers, who, operating from a Norwegian Alta-class mine hunter, would dive with a mixture of oxygen, nitrogen, and helium, streaming from their tanks and plant-shaped C4 charges on the four pipelines with concrete protective covers. It would be tedious, time-consuming, and dangerous work, but the waters off Bornholm had another advantage. There were no major tidal currents, which would have made the task of diving much more difficult.
I don't want to get too far off track here, but you mentioned the Norwegian Secret Service was involved. I have a question about Secret Service in general and the fact that more than one country has one. Mm-hmm. It makes it all the more dumbfounding to me, but isn't having an agency named the Secret Service sort of counterproductive to the service that you're trying to keep secret?
Well, they don't have to tell you what they're doing.
Well, I think that they're great at keeping secrets. For example, most people think that their biggest job is protecting the president. And that's not even what they were founded for. They are to keep us from counterfeiting money, because that's their job.
That's absolutely one of their jobs, yeah.
That was their original job. That was the first purpose for the Secret Service.
But again, we all know where they are and what they're doing.
Do you?
Well, okay, but we know that there's an organization of them, and
sure,
that is not secret.
Well, and so this is actually one of the distinctions that
secrets,
the Freemasons tend to make, is they say, no, we're not a secret organization, because you know about us. We just happen to be an organization
with secrets.
Secrets.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the same way, I mean, sure, they're not a secret organization in the sense that National Security Association, or the NSA was a literal secret organization for a very long time.
Yeah, you know about the CIA, but you don't know what they're doing. You don't know all their dirty plots.
Right,
you don't know about their black budgets.
They're not called the secret CIA.
All right. At this point, the Navy's obscure deep diving group in Panama City once again came into play. The deep sea schools there, whose trainees participated in Ivy Bells, are seen as an unwanted backwater by the elite graduates of the Naval Academy in Annapolis, who typically seek the glory of being assigned as a SEAL, fighter pilot, or submariner. If one must become a black shoe, that is, a member of the less desirable surface ship command, there's always at least duty on a destroyer, cruiser, or amphibious ship. The least glamorous of all is mine warfare. Its divers never appear in Hollywood movies or on the cover of popular magazines.
So you're saying that it's entirely possible that Florida man was somehow involved in the bombing of Nord Stream 2.
Could be. A source said, quote, the best divers with deep diving qualifications are a tight community, and only the very best are recruited for the operation and told to be prepared to be summoned to the CIA in Washington. The Norwegians, according to Hirsch, and Americans had a location and the operatives, but there was another concern. Any unusual underwater activity in the waters off Bornholm might draw the attention of the Swedish or Danish navies, which could report it. Denmark had also been one of the original NATO signatories and was known in the intelligence community for its special ties to the UK. Sweden had applied for membership in NATO and had demonstrated its great skill in managing its underwater sound and magnetic sensor systems that successfully tracked Russian submarines that would occasionally show up in remote waters of their archipelago and be forced to the surface. The Norwegians joined the Americans in insisting that some senior officials in Denmark and Sweden had to be briefed in general terms about possible diving activity in the area. In that way, someone higher up could intervene and keep a report out of the chain of command, thus insulating the pipeline operation. So they didn't tell them the whole thing. They told them they were doing something.
Well, and you'll notice, it's the Secret Service, not the secret organization. What service do they really provide?
Oh, they're servicing you. They're servicing you, and that's not a secret. You are being serviced.
Most people don't know about it.
Well, you mean they're investigating counterfeiting?
Yeah, most people don't know about the investigating counterfeiting. Most people don't know why that is important.
I'm saying service as a euphemism.
Yeah, I know. Got you, man. They are servicing the entire world, figuratively speaking, and almost none of the people in the world know anything about it. They don't know about money printing.
Well, I've noticed.
What they were told and what they knew were purposely different, said the source. The Norwegian embassy asked to comment on the story, didn't respond. The Norwegians were key to solving other hurdles. The Russian Navy was known to possess surveillance technology capable of spotting and triggering underwater mines. The American explosive devices needed to be camouflaged in a way that would make them appear to the Russian system as part of the natural background, something that required adapting to the specific salinity of the water, and the Norwegians had a fix. They also had a solution to the crucial question.
They had a solution.
Of when
the
operation should take place. Every June, for the past 21 years, the American 6th Fleet, whose flagship is based in Italy, had sponsored a major NATO exercise in the Baltic Sea involving scores of Allied ships throughout the region. The current exercise held in June would be known as Baltic Operations 22, or Baltops 22. The Norwegians proposed this would be the ideal cover to plant the mines. And that's what we mentioned in the first segment of the show when we were doing the summary of this, that it was during this operation, Baltops 22, that the divers went down amidst all the cover of the other things that were going on in the area.
Right.
And what we didn't know is that this is a regular thing. This is something that just happens every year in that area, so nobody thought different about it.
Yeah, it kind of makes you rethink every time that you hear about these, they're doing military training in XYZ place. It's like,
what else?
Are they ever going to be covering something with that military?
Yeah, what else are they up to? The number here is 603-283-6160, and so that is when they planted the bombs that were then exploded, apparently, 3 months later on Nord Stream.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You USA News update. Another unidentified object has been shot down today.
This went over Canadian airspace. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeting that Canadian and U.S. aircraft were scrambled and a U.S. F-22 successfully shot it down. NBC correspondent Dan DeLuce raising the question, why are we seeing so many?
Is this because there's a heightened sensitivity as the U.S. and the Canadian military watch the airspace over North America?
Trudeau said he has spoken with President Biden and Canadian forces will now recover the object. I'm John Schaefer.
The Texas Department of Public Safety says no more troopers will be disciplined over the response to the Uvalde mass shooting. The DPS investigated the conduct of seven troopers. One was fired and another faces termination. Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton on when it actually hit him that he's in the Super Bowl.
It really didn't hit me until I probably felt walked across the stage, man. I saw the trophy for the first time.
Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Saturday episode. Phones are open. 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in on the Nord Stream pipeline,
call now.
Sabotage. We've been giving you some of the details from a lengthy piece from Seymour Hersh, a reporter who is in his 80s, like 85 years old, about to turn 86. He's still at it, still breaking some of the most important news out there, and he's got a tremendous track record underneath him, so this is completely plausible. The source that he has all the details, all the ugly behind-the-scenes backroom details of how the United States, in the form of the military and the CIA, worked with the Norwegians, apparently, in order to plant bombs on the Nord Stream pipelines in the Baltic Sea, and then trigger those bombs, apparently, 3 months later, when they dropped a buoy into the sea that then transmitted a certain frequency that was picked up, and then bombs go, and then lots of damage done, and now Germany is cold, very very cold during the wintertime as a result of that. Oops, sorry about that.
You've been canceled.
And by the grace of God, didn't die this winter because they had an uncommonly warm one winter. When they had no energy.
Yep, that's true.
I will say I'm happy that he's 85. That means he has probably already squared away his will, because most of the people who start spreading secrets about the CIA and the American military don't live very long. And if they do, well, they end up in Russia.
Well, this isn't, I don't know where he's based out of these days, but it isn't the first time he reported, apparently, according to RT, on the CIA's illegal domestic spying in the past. So like, he's a deep digger when it comes to reporting on the ugliness of the U.S. federal government. So thank you to Seymour Hersh for this.
Thank you for your service.
We will be putting out the full article over at social.freetalklive.com. If you appreciate the work that we do here, and obviously we are not as important as this particular journalist, but we're a conveyor belt for that information to some extent. If you appreciate what we do, then you can join Steve Smith, who is a Free Talk Live silver supporter of our AMPS program over at amps.freetalklive.com. It's a way for you to contribute all of $5 a month to continue this mission here 7 nights a week. It's what we do. We're on broadcast radio. We're on the internet. We're streaming. We're doing video. I mean, we've got podcasts, you name it. Whatever way we can get our signal into people's ears, we're doing that. Satellite. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there. It is our Patreon.
I mean, if you amp enough, we'll probably put a guy on top of a building yelling the show like as it goes on.
That would cost a lot. But, yeah, you can
get enough amplifiers. We can make that happen.
Amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com.
Amplify us amplifying things like this.
Yeah, and so that is one way you can get some perks, like access to the Amp Only podcast, which has the full radio show minus the recorded commercials. So thank you again to Steve Smith for helping us out there for $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. Let's talk to Jet. He's on the line calling us from Kentucky. Go ahead, Jet.
Yeah, I'm on a funky phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Actually, do me a favor. Things. You're actually a little too loud. Just back away from that phone, maybe about 4 inches or 3 inches or something like that. Try that.
Well, I'm on a headset.
Oh, well, then disconnect that headset if you can, because most of the time headsets sound way worse than the actual phone would sound if you were just talking into it. So as long as you're not driving or something.
Oh, really? Let me see if I can do
Yeah, if you don't mind. It's always appreciated when people take the time to...
If it's like a Bluetooth headset, yeah, they're pretty terrible.
They're usually fine if you're just talking to somebody else on another phone, yeah. But for whatever reason...
If you're using like a VoIP phone, you've got like a USB wired headset on.
This your earbud.
All right, we got you, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's better.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier you were talking about doing the, you know, the income tax thing, and I just wanted to call and get a quick correction on
it
that.
It was a caller who was saying that he thought that there were people who were avoiding paying taxes by donating to charities, and as I understand it, that's just a deduction, but what do you, could please clarify.
Oh, well, not about that, just about the idea that no one really has to contribute.
Okay.
There's a trick that they pull on you. Most people are under this W-4 thing, and the W-4 has used to have, now they've changed it, of course, to make it more obscure, but it used to have on line 7, it said, if you did not owe tax last year, or if you owed, or if you don't expect to owe tax next year, you can write the word exempt in line 7. Well, they took away that line 7 and hit it.
Now you have to. Well, hang on. Go ahead, Jet.
Now you have to write the word exempt down in an open space. In other words, you have to know the trick.
Ah.
Anyway, the idea is since no one owes, I mean, legally, logically, the fact is you didn't owe tax last year and you don't expect to owe tax this year. But everyone,
why do you say that? Because I mean, certainly. A lot of people think that they owe taxes. They're raised to believe that they owe taxes. How can you just say that no one owes? What are you basing that on?
Well, not no one. You know, you have the 5 or 6 categories. You have the non-resident alien, the foreign corporation, the agents of the corporation, the federal government employees, the populations of protected states like Guam, Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., those are actually listed as people who owe a tax from their wages because all taxation is supposed to be, what do you call that tax, like tax on cigarettes, an excise tax.
Okay.
Here in the United States, there are only two types of taxes. One is an excise, one is an apportionment, and we don't do the apportionment thing. So it has to be a privilege to be able to work in the United States. That's why they pay taxes. Anyway, that's a little thing I wanted to clarify.
So then what's the point of even writing it down on a form and submit it? Like, if you truly are exempt, why even fill out the form and write it wherever you're supposed to know this trick is to be?
Well, because the employers don't know any better either, and they will put the pressure on you. So you want the job here, fill out this form. And the form, both W-9 and W-4, only apply to those categories that I listed.
Yeah, it keeps the employer from withholding.
Oh, okay, just to clarify, see, I didn't know which forms were which or whatever. You're saying this is a form you fill out when you get the job and you write
exempt
on it?
This is the I-9 form,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I had no idea that they used to...
W-4.
So I looked into
W-4.
This. W-4. Because I had noticed that there was this line that said, if you are exempt, then write exempt here. Mm-hmm. But that's all that it said.
Yeah.
Now I looked into this and found out, okay, well, what is the qualification for writing exempt here? Right. And yes, the rules are exactly that, and that's very strange. That if you were exempt last year, then you are exempt this year. That's the qualification, which is very strange. But I had no idea they used to actually put that qualification on the form.
Yeah, so I remember seeing it many times, and he's right. It did disappear over time.
Mm. Yeah, and it's been step by step. So apparently,
the last few years.
Yeah, originally it used to say what the instructions were. Then it moved to there was still an exempt line, but it didn't tell you what the instructions were for being exempt. And now there's no exempt line there at all. But I know this directly that if you write exempt in this little space, because they didn't used to have a little space there.
Just to clarify, is the space like in the middle of the form, or is it down at the bottom of the page?
Sort of in the middle at the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. At the very bottom, you have this whole section where you do like how many dependents do you have, and you're supposed to do a math and write a final number here. Now, if you do exempt, you don't do any of that, and the exempt is right above that whole section.
Mm.
But it's below where you write like your name and your social security number and all of that. And he's right with like you do owe taxes if you are a government employee or if you are a third party that is hired by government employees.
Yep, contractors to the government and all those other categories I told you about citizens of particular states. Foreign corporations, non-resident aliens, that kind of thing.
Just to clarify, always, Jet, do you work for somebody, and have you actually tried this yourself?
Well, anytime someone presents me with a W-4, I do that. I've worked contract most of my life, but when they hit me with a W-4, I go, okay, here we go, exempt, and I also hand them a letter. Even though I'm not obligated to fill out the form at all, I just want to get beyond that.
Okay, good. Because that's kind of where I was going with my question. I'm glad you clarified that.
So you include a letter to explain. Is that what the letter is?
No, the letter says, I do not wish to participate in any socialist programs such as Social Security or Medicare. So I expect that when I work X number of hours at Y number of wages, my Z result will show up in my paycheck.
That's interesting.
I get all the money that I'm owed.
Wow.
Because writing exempt here will not keep them from taking out Social Security.
That was going to be my
and
question.
A couple of other programs.
And you find that the letter works? Just to clarify, you find that writing exempt on the IRS form and then including a letter saying, don't touch, give me all that money from Social Security, Medicare, I don't want you paying that out. And that actually convinces corporate accountants to send you everything?
In my situation, it has been. But in most cases, they'll go, well, we can't not take out. I mean, they still are sucked into this mindset that they have to do this stuff, even though there's no obligation written or otherwise to do so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in most cases, even when it was on the form and you put exempt and you didn't tell them a number of exemptions or anything like that, even then they would just operate according to rote habit and they would do a bunch of withholding.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know the worst part about all of this? It was a libertarian that invented this system.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
The tax system?
That invented the idea of withholding taxes. Because before then, they relied on people to file and send in their taxes.
Who came up with this?
What was his name? Milton Friedman.
Really?
Yeah, Milton Friedman was the one that came up with the idea of
you're supporting taxes, you're not a libertarian. I mean, end of story.
Well, so he's not a voluntarist, but he was a libertarian. He wanted less government, and I think this was a deeply unfortunate betrayal of his own ideals.
Yeah, he apparently didn't have any.
Keep in mind that all this nonsense began in 1954. So none of this stuff has been all that, 54 is a long time. But consider that I know that the bogus Tax Act of 1913, that didn't apply to anybody anyway, other than what I described before, because it was about income, which is income coming into the country, versus outflow.
I'm not saying don't try different things, and this may work great for people. I mean, if indeed that they don't go after you, that's absolutely fantastic. But the problem comes in when they come after you, right? Because then you can write down all the words you want, and you can be absolutely within your rights. The problem comes in when you're in front of a jury of 12 people who fully believe that everybody's got to pay taxes, and you can make any kind of argument, you can point to any kind of evidence that you want to, and those people will send you up the river.
Yep. Yeah, this is the same
kind. I have an answer.
Go ahead.
I have an answer for that.
Okay.
The fact is, these goons are not going to spend more money than they can retrieve. They're only going to go after somebody who's an asset, or who's making noise.
Sure.
That's what I tell people. You have to have assets, and or if you're standing on a hill making noise about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I lost it.
Well, so this is the exact same kind of thinking that leads to sovereign citizens. Like, oh, well, I've studied this and this, and I know the universal commercial code, and I know that I'm not actually a citizen because I'm a sovereign, and you can, and like, all of this.
It's fascinating.
Like, okay, great.
It's interesting.
Except
you
are relying on them following their own rules.
And they don't.
And what it comes down to for me regarding that type of thing is, I do not need to present the proper paperwork to prove that I am a free man. I am free because I declare I am free.
Well, so the thing is, the only time you're going to have the opportunity to implement what Jed is talking about is when you are working for a corporation.
Right. I get that, and I'm not saying it's not... I would love to hear from somebody who has tried what Jed has suggested and had success with it. I would love to nothing more than to hear that, and I understand. That's why I was asking him, like, why would you do this? Why would you write this? Okay, well, if you want to be employed in a corporate environment in where, you know, you're collecting a regular paycheck and they hand you this W-2 form, okay, you want to get that filled out so that they could process it.
Yeah, it does work, and it is legal. Basically, at that point, it is you are absolving the corporation of the responsibility of determining the withholding and taking it upon yourself to do that.
Right. Interesting, Jed. Anything else you want to share tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick a couple of things. You wanted to talk to somebody who's actually done it. I've done it several times. But anyway, I wanted to – have you guys used the term government yet tonight?
Maybe. I have.
Okay. Here's the deal. Your neighbor is an accountant, okay?
Wait. After hang on before you go on.
Working for a company.
Uncle Jet, tell us a story.
Go on, please.
Okay. Back in my day, your neighbor's an accountant. After a few years of working for a company, he joins the IRS to get a higher salary. Hmm. Well, he's the same guy, just another person, but with a badge and a gun, he's now a threat to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your cousin's son joined the Army at age 19, and after his two-year enlistment, he's now 21 and needs a job. So he joins the local police force. Well, he's the same person, but with a badge and a gun. He's now a threat to your life.
Right.
There's someone you don't even know who who decided to run for judge in the local court. He won the election. He's the same person, but with guns at his side, he's now a threat to your life.
Sure.
As long as you guys keep using the collective term government and the associated bogus titles instead of a person's name or the gang they hang with, you will never make significant headway in your quest for freedom and liberty.
Government is the name of the gang they hang with. That is the name of their gang.
No, the government is little gangs. Everyone's in little gangs. If they're not in a big gang. The big gang is all in your mind. They're just little gangs like the FBI and the IRS and the CIA.
That is absolutely false. That is absolutely false. If you go after the IRS, you are also picking a fight with the FBI. If you go after the NSA, believe me, they will handle the CIA will also help the NSA fight you.
If they're not too busy, you know, molesting children.
I think he would say that the gangs are working together.
Okay, that's not a significant distinction. So, I mean, if you have a corporation that has different departments, those departments are still part of one company. It's one company, different departments.
Let me get to the point. I'll wrap it up. I said, if you truly want to live free, you must understand and then broadcast that this thing we call government only exists in your mind, that the continuing threat to your lives comes only from other failed flesh and blood humans, just other people who have no more God-given right to do anything that you do. So until you pound this message into the heads of your friends and listeners, you will remain under the rule of the violent, sociopathic, tyrannical humans.
But even you have trouble with it. What did you just say? Well, now they have a gun. No, that's not the difference. The difference isn't that they acquired weaponry. The difference is that they acquired legitimacy. They acquired legitimacy for their violence, for their aggression. Yes, in the minds of the majority of people. Yes.
And that is definitely what needs to change. There's no doubt about it. Bonnie's been doing a pretty good job, Jed, of using your alternative word. She'll just pull them right off the signs we have here in the studio pretty regularly. So I think you've made an impact on her pretty effectively.
Cool. Yeah, I'm trying to train myself to use the word govern myth.
Ooh, I like that one. Thank you, Jet, for the call tonight. You got a laugh out of Jet there. The number is 603-283-6160. And I mean, Jet's not wrong necessarily.
No, I mean, like, if you recognize that the organization commonly referred to as government is the horrible organization, then the way to end it is to help other people understand that it's just a bunch of
criminals.
People.
It's criminals.
Right, but it is just a bunch of people. It is a mental construct in the human mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Borders are a human construct in the human mind. They don't actually exist. Right. You might be able to go to a place on planet Earth and this is where the border is, but there's no actual thing that you can just walk across. It's fine.
Yeah, even if the imaginary thing is manifest by an actual physical, like, fence or something, it's still something that is an agreement, that is an idea, rather than an actual tangible thing.
Right.
But, so here's where I disagree with him as far as the term goes. I don't think that it's the term that matters. I think it's what you think and believe when you use the term. So if you use the term government and you think and believe legitimacy, trustworthiness, goodness, authority, like if those are the things that you think and believe, then yes, that's going to keep you a slave. But if you think and believe mafia, violence, extortion, then using the term government is not going to make a difference.
I think what he's said over the years he's been calling and advocating this, I mean, it's been pretty clear, is that when you use the term, you can think what you want, but there's other people who hear it who are going to think the other thing. They're going to think about the legitimacy and the American flag and all the stuff that they want you to think about. And so I think Jet's point is if you refer to them as a gang or goons or thugs or, lunatics or psychopaths or whatever, then that could possibly help break the shell, if you will, around these people's brain.
I think that you need to use both. So talk to people about the lunatics called government.
Sure.
Talk to them about the mafia called the CIA. Talk to them about these things. Use both of them together in conjunction so that you can change the associations that people have.
But I agree.
If you don't use the term government, if you don't say, hey, these people were viciously and cruelly murdered by government, then people don't get the opportunity to change what they believe.
And by doing that, you're actually alluding to your definition of the word before you use the word. And that's what is most important in conversation, is that folks agree on definition. The debate, too, of course. But in conversation, I think common definitions are important, because you're right, Ian. When I talk to somebody that, you know, that isn't plugged into, like, the freedom environment and, you know, philosophy and all that kind of stuff, and I use the word government, it's going to mean something different to them than it does to me. And if we're not in agreement on the definition, then we're going to, you know, our conversation isn't going to be as beneficial as it would be if we agreed on the definition.
Well, and one of Jett's main points that he made, you know, over the years is that if you just add the word people to it, government people, then you're at least taking it down from this sort of bigger than us concept, right? Like that government is this God. It's this thing, that this entity that's greater than it's some of its parts,
right,
which is what a lot of the people in the state believe. But if you call them government people, then you're reminding the listener that these are just
people. They're mortals.
Yeah, these are just people.
They have addresses. They bleed when cut.
Let's go to the phones here. We've got Alu on the line, Alu Axelman from the Liberty Block. Hello, Alu.
I totally agree with all of you about language. I love that Jet calls in from time to time and reminds everyone that the government is just gangs and goons and thieves and liars and scumbags and sociopaths and criminals. I love that sign that I saw in the studio there when I came to host it. It's a good reminder for all the hosts.
Indeed. So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just published my brand new book. Speaking of language, in my books, I don't call them, you know, government or even politicians. I'll use maybe politicians or criminals, sociopaths, gangsters, and thugs when I talk about government. And some think it's a little harsh and it puts off some people, but that's what I do in my books. And this one's about the government also, you know, not being legitimate and using division to divide and conquer and control us, obviously, so we don't focus on them. It's called Faith or Unity. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon now. It's super cheap, like $3 for the Kindle, $10 for the paperback.
You said it's called Faith or Unity?
That is it, yeah.
Sweet.
Congratulations.
Government is awesome, people.
Yeah, shout out to Gabriel for that one.
Government.
Yeah, government. Not only does he use that, but he's training his children to think about these things in proper terms, and that is the beginning of wisdom.
Alu, can you hang on? I want you to tell us a little bit more about They Fear Unity, the idea is here. So stand by. We're going to continue with Alu Axelman. He is the author of, according to his website, libertyblock.com, now 7 books. This is his 7th book that he has come out with.
Yeah, he's doing great as much as he talks.
He's got a lot to say. There's no doubt about it. And it's all good. So we're going to continue here. Hour number 3 is on the way. The number is 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.